Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, the Reverend Charlene Hicks is going to join us to discuss the astrological reasons for meteorological catastrophes and the weather in general. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Lady Brenda, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I just arrived in Sacramento, and I'm ready to do the show.
Oh, outstanding. Well, I hope the weather has been cooperating with you lately.
It has, but the traffic doesn't always cooperate.
No, it doesn't. Well, can you tell us a little bit about what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic, and I work with all you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com, and I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I use the crystal ball and the tarot and the playing cards.
Ah, lovely, lovely. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I hope you're ready to hear
Reverend
Charlene Hicks. Outstanding.
I am.
Well, Steve, how are you doing this evening, my friend?
Very well, thank you, Stephen. I'm really looking forward to this show because I know Charlene, and I know that also she has some really astute observations about astrology and the weather patterns.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. The idea that all of the manifestation of weather that surrounds us every day could have an astrological underpinning, that just fascinates me to no end. You know?
Yeah, well, before the modern methods, astrology was used to forecast the weather, and it, in my opinion, it's the most accurate way of forecasting the weather.
Well, speaking of astrology, you do a lot of astrology, and what else do you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I'm also a psychic medium, Stephen, so I connect with spirit and help people to connect with their loved ones in spirit and bring evidence of the afterlife. But you know as well, I'm very passionate about astrology and increasingly tarot.
Ah, yes, tarot is tarot and astrology can sometimes seem to go hand in hand, don't they? Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, tonight we have with us Reverend Charlene Hicks. And I'm hoping Charlene is with us by now. Charlene, are you there? We might be having some cosmic weather affecting us already. Ah, hello, Reverend Hicks, are you there?
I am here.
All right.
Why
the planets are with us.
I'm here.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the on Psychic Viewpoint this evening. We're happy to have you.
Well, it's exciting to be on in a different place besides just here, which is a good thing.
Well, I would just like to remind everyone that they can find Charlene Hicks at charlenehicks.com, and if you book a session with her, she's a psychic medium and an astrologer, between now and Sunday, you'll get a very nice discount. So keep that in mind, charlenehicks.com. Well, let's get started, Reverend Hicks. Can you tell us a little bit, I know that in astrology, it's so easy to talk about an event after it happened, but you discussed the Japanese tsunami before it happened. Can you tell us
a little bit
about how that came to be?
Well, I wanted to get on Fox News in Macon. A friend of mine had a contact there, and this is back in the summer months of 2010. And I went down and read for the people in the PR firm that my friend knows, Cheryl Sandifer and Grace and some other people. And they just kind of listened to me, and they go, well, okay. And then I came back home. And then the stuff I told them started happening within a week after I was there. And so Grayson, I went back down again to read for them again. And the next time I went, the stuff happened again. So the person that could get me on Fox was Cheryl Sandifer. So she told them that she really, I told her to start working on it because usually the last week of March and the first 2 weeks of April, there's always some kind of upheaval with our the war zone aspects, but also with weather patterns and unusual stuff. And I knew that there's a lot of things coming up in March and April of 2011, and I really wanted to be on the news to report it before the stuff happened. So in February, she kept telling Cheryl that she should have me on there, and I had gone to Florida, and when I came home, all of a sudden, Cheryl decided he wanted me on there, and I was on March 10th at 10:30 at night to 11 o'clock on Fox 12. And I got to talk about the aspects that I wanted to talk about, which was an alignment of a lot of planets in Aries and a lot of fiery planets. But at the same time, Neptune had gone into Pisces, and Neptune's only in Pisces once in every 168 years. It takes 14 years to go through one sign. And Neptune's transit in its own sign of Pisces indicates that the shorelines will begin to disappear and the oceans are going to start rising up over this next 14 years. So we're already 2 years into it. So on that night, I talked about the summer of 2011 would be the hottest summer on record for us. We'd break all recorded temperatures in the summer months, at least for the state of Georgia, we would. But I said, the last thing I said on the news was that there would be disturbance on the ocean floor causing the ocean to rise up and the shorelines would begin to disappear. And we need to pray for the United States and pray for the world at large because things are about to change within the next 3 weeks.
Wow. That is amazing.
Within 6 hours, there was a disturbance on the ocean floor. The tsunami came and it hit Japan, and then it came back and hit the U.S.
That is very, very, to me, it's just sort of frightening. Knowing about it beforehand, you know, what can we do to prepare for something as wrathful as a tsunami, you know?
And then the other thing is, well, we can pray, you know, prayer is always a good thing. And then that summer, on June the 1st, here in Atlanta, at midnight, it was 90 degrees. And from that moment on, we had 90 consecutive days where every single day was above 90 degrees, and we've never had that before.
Yeah, in our private conversations before the show, you told me once it was 90 degrees like at midnight in Georgia. At midnight.
Yeah, well, it was on June the 1st. It's never been that high. At midnight, it started on June the 1st, 2011. And from that day, the first day of June, it was 90 degrees at midnight. And then we had 90 days after that. Wow. Each day was above 90 degrees.
That's amazing. That's like the surface of an alien planet. I mean, because the sun's not even out at midnight. You know, it's nighttime.
you should be able to get some relief. You know, but the aspects, the planets were all in the fire signs. And when there's a bunch of planets in fire signs, whatever element is predominant is what we're going to get a lot of. So it was an Aries and hot sun, so it means a heat wave's coming.
Okay.
Now, all the planets are lined up in water signs, and they're not just the quick-moving planets, they're the slow-moving planets, which means water, water everywhere. The water is going to continue to come and flood out places where they've never had a problem because we haven't had this grand trine that started on June the 28th, of this year, 2013, where Jupiter, which takes 12 years to transit all 12 signs, is in Cancer now. Then we've got Neptune still in Pisces for another 12 more years, and it rules the ocean. And we've got Saturn, as of October of last year, moved into Scorpio, and it's going to be there for another 2 years. Saturn represents the skeletal system of the body, bones, teeth, and knees, structural things. Scorpio rules things below the Earth's surface, things that we can't see, like a surgeon. You know, we see the body on the outside, but they work on the internal organs, removing things or stitching things up. So Scorpio has to be going below the surface. So Saturn in Scorpio indicates pipe problems, sewage problems, things underneath the ground, and that would be pipes bursting, could be the gas pipes bursting, problems with flood, structural things with sewers and this kind of thing. Bridges going out because there are things, structures over water. So we have that aspect in effect for 2 years. Jupiter rules the United States because the United States is Cancer. Cancer rules the stomach. The stomach rules food. Shows issues with food and crops. Excessive amounts of water will pretty much wash out some of our crops. And we may not see that much this year, but next year, by the time June rolls around, it will be an issue. And then with Neptune, we're discovering more and more things over this next year on the ocean floor. Things that have been hidden for thousands of years are being brought to the surface. One, there's a giant crystal that they finally discovered off the coast of Bermuda, which Edgar Cayce has talked about since day one. Well, thanks to Neptune and Pisces, these things are coming to light.
Yes, they say the conventional wisdom about Jupiter is that, and it's almost a cliche what they say, that he makes bigger and expands whatever it is that he touches. And now here Jupiter is in the cardinal water sign. And even as we speak, I see news reports of floods all over the place, even in your neck of the woods. Gilmer County, Georgia, flash floods. We have tornadoes and floods striking across Sweden. We have severe floods in North Korea. Pennsylvania, so they're all over the place, this flooding.
Yeah, it's just getting started. We have a whole year of this to look forward to, but the most significant thing is when Jupiter gets between 24 and 26 degrees of Cancer, gets pretty close in November, but by the end of May, June of next year, it actually arrives exactly at those degrees. The last time that happened, we had the Ohio River in 1884 on February the 14th crested 71 feet above the riverbanks and flooded out the whole area. It's one of the worst floods in recorded history. And so the middle part of the U.S. would be the Mississippi River, and that's pretty much the breadbasket, the middle part of the U.S. So those areas will also be hit from the excessive flooding with these particular aspects.
So we're not just talking about we're not just talking about an inconvenience here, having to take our galoshes and umbrellas. We're talking about perhaps something impacting our food supply.
That's correct. And it won't be apparent this year, but it will be more apparent next year. When Jupiter makes its final transit out of Cancer, we'll see what that means. Because when Jupiter was in Gemini, when it made its final transit back in May, we had that big tornado touchdown and pretty much wiped out those couple of states. That was it. Jupiter represents excess, and it's in Gemini, which represents wind. It represents the element of air.
I see. So Jupiter is usually more benevolent than he's acting here, but I see now once he gets involved with the weather, the image that springs to mind is the traditional image of Zeus hurling thunderbolts from Mount Olympus. You know, Zeus, Jupiter, can be quite vengeful when he wants to be, can he?
Well, the other thing is, because we have the cardinal signs, we've got Uranus and Aries, which has to do with sudden and unexpected things without warning. Jupiter squaring that, which means an aspect of tension. And then we have Pluto and Capricorn opposite, so we have a T-square. And the open end of the T-square is in Libra. So we'll have a lot of things coming up in the end of September also, because it points to that stretch, you know, that's the bow and arrow drawn taut. That's the bullseye is when the planets go into Libra as well. So there should be something happening when we have the full moon in September, because the full moon will be in Pisces. The moon will be conjuncting Neptune, and that has to do with watery aspects. And then again in November, we have alignment of seven planets in water signs when we have the new moon in November. So those would be two times to watch for excessive amounts of water appearing in different areas around the world.
Oh my God! It's such a shame that the Red Cross and the various emergency agencies won't give you a serious and attentive ear on these matters. They could certainly plan for these catastrophes well in advance. Of course, I imagine they're planning for things already. But with astrology, we could probably pinpoint specific danger zones, specific times when there would be meteorological eruptions and things of that nature. Am I right?
That's correct. That's right. And the ancients knew and the Egyptians knew about the tidal flow or the pull from the full moon. And when I worked in the hospital, you know, when it was the full moon, I didn't really want to work on those nights because it was always the minute 8 o'clock hit and the moon hit the horizon, my code beeper would go off and all these people would be piling into the hospital. So people think that the planets have no effect on us. Well, they do. And the sunspot activity, you know, when we have that, it really does change things here on the Earth. And we can't see the sunspot activity without the help of NASA, but we know that that does impact us, and so does the full moon. Brings the greatest tides in, and a lot of people, there's a lot of babies born on the full moon. But there's also a lot of unusual things always happen. A lot of tidal waves and stuff come around the full moon as well.
Yes,
always,
and it's pretty
bad.
It's pretty observable. You talk to any emergency worker, and they'll tell you that during moments of when the moon is full, things can get kind of hairy. I mean, the word lunacy, in fact, comes from luna, which means moon. And so, yeah, it's almost a cliche that the freaks come out at the full moon, so to speak. We're so sensitive to celestial changes, and we don't even realize how sensitive we are to them, how they affect our biorhythms.
Yeah. Well, some people just don't get it. Really, astrology really does impact our lives, and they think that, well, you know, they could see maybe how the sun could do it or how the moon could do it. But how could Jupiter impact us? Well, it's still part of our solar system. You know, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not impacting us on some level. And usually wherever it is, it brings about changes. But every time we've ever had a lot of planets in water signs, especially Saturn or Jupiter, or the slower moving planets in water signs, there's always been an issue with some kind of flood. When in 93, when Saturn was in Pisces, here in Georgia in the spring, Lake Hartwell flooded, and 85 was closed, and that's our major thoroughfare. And then in the fall, or towards the end, September, the 75 South was flooded out, and all these coffins came up and were floating in the river, but the 75 was, you couldn't pass through Macon at that time. So we've never had that before. But
wow.
Saturn represents structures, a skeletal system. It was in Pisces, which is water. And sure enough, it was both of those highways for a period of time were totally impassable. They were underwater.
That is pretty macabre, that image of the coffins being disgorged from the earth and floating. That's a pretty macabre image, but it's very Saturnian once we think about it, isn't it?
It's very much
pertinent to Scorpio as well, in the sense of things being disgorged from the earth, especially things that are buried. And as you said, Saturn now is in Scorpio. Scorpio has to do with healing, and I can't help but wonder if some of these geological effects won't be some type of ecological healing, some ecological homeostasis, some process of healing that the planet itself is going to be going through.
Yeah, well, on the flip side, on the positive side, since we have so many planets in water signs, war signs have to do with our emotions, our emotional body, and getting more in touch with that the healing side. Because Neptune is the great healer, and Saturn and Jupiter, with all the water signs being in those represented, it has a lot to do with education, learning more about our emotions and how our emotions affect us, that our feeling nature, how powerful that is. But it also has a lot to do opening up to the spirit world and the unseen dimensions, because Neptune rules the unconscious, the subconscious mind. So through
yes.
dream state and other levels of, like, ashram, then and Jupiter has to do with religion, law, philosophy, higher education, long-distance trip, traveling, people don't live close by. So the sign of Cancer shows an awakening a spiritual awakening taking place too. So those are the positive things that the American public and the world at large will begin to look at things in the bigger picture, that we're not split or separate. Everything is impacting, we're all connected, that nothing is split or separate.
The picture that Jupiter and Cancer seems to paint for me is a very global one, in the sense that Cancer is obviously domestic. It's my home, it's your home, it's America. But as you just said, Jupiter represents foreignness, long distance. So it's almost as if the picture that this placement paints is global type of floods all over the place, global consequences for all of this cardinal rushing water.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's more and more becoming of the global economy, too. You know, if it affects one area and one goes, like the domino effect, if it's impacted here and impacts somewhere else, importing and exporting goods, too. And the other thing is, with the aspect that we've got going on, since we have so much more water coming, it also can create increase this mosquito population, like the West Nile virus. And also things with water, things that would travel through the water, things that would impact our water, whether it's at some point it may get to the point where it's so much water, we're not sure if it's drinkable water or clean water, and that are contaminated water. That also is an aspect that can be brought about, our awareness of quality drinking water. More and more people are becoming more aware of that maybe the tap water is not so great. You need to have a water purifier. So, you know, just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty common. Well, it should be common knowledge that we're facing a serious picture with our water supplies. The minority, a very disturbing minority of the Earth's water supply is potable, something like 3%. And of that 3%, a significant portion is locked in the polar ice caps. So we all should be extremely worried about our water supply and where it's going to be coming from. I know I would dump my investment dollars into anything having to do with water. But speaking about dollars, because I know this is a show on the weather, but obviously all of this disturbing weather is going to affect the economic picture, as you just said. What do you think is going to happen to the United States dollar as a result of dealing with some of these meteorological disturbances? The economy.
Unfortunately, I think it'll tap us out, because, you know, America, because we are Cancer, we're the nation that feeds the world. So a lot of us, we're basically the farmers, the mother that nurtures all the other countries. So a lot to do with importing, exporting when it comes to the wheat belt or the corn belt or our food supply is a powerful part of our world economy. So if there is a lot, the floods could affect that too. So, but the one thing is, in the next year, they're going to be more and more aware of is how interconnected we really are, that nothing really is split or separate. It doesn't matter if they're in Sumatra or they're in Cancun or Seattle. It's all these things are, we're all very much connected, and I think more and more people are becoming aware of that.
Yes, it's definitely becoming more and more important in this day and age, and I just certainly hope, I love to see, I mean, I don't want to say love, but one positive thing that comes about from tsunamis and catastrophes is that we all seem to unify, we knit ourselves together into this one big human fabric to help each other. You know,
that's true, and on the positive side of it is, because we are becoming more spiritually aware, the fourth dimension, as of 12/21/12, is coming to the third dimension. So there's a lot of things happening very fast and very quick, where years ago it took years and years for anything to get resolved or to happen. Now it can happen by the end of the day. So just like the Tibetan masters would sit and meditate all day long and send positive prayers and chants into the ethers worldwide when they were in Tibet, now they're dispersed and they're all over the place. Each person has the ability to do the same thing each day, because if you're at peace with yourself, you change the vibration of each person you come in contact with for the better. So the ultimate goal is to work on creating that positive place within yourself and radiating that out into the world.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, as if this grand trine and water signs weren't enough, I do believe that we're also going through something in the earth signs as well, aren't we? Isn't there something significant happening in the earthy signs?
Well, the earth sign trine trinity that happens this week is between the moon in Taurus on Monday, and then Venus is in Virgo, and then Pluto is in Capricorn. So in the heavens, there would be like, it looks like a six-pointed star, the Star of David, and it was formed earlier this week by the water signs intertwining with the earth signs. So the earth and the water signs astrologically would benefit greatly this week from that aspect. But it's just a kind of like a peaceful aspect unfolding, which is good. But it's only in effect for this week, and then after that, Venus moves forward and is out of the. And moon is not in Taurus anymore, it's out. So it's only for like 2 days that it actually occurred on the 29th and the 30th that we felt that impact from that. And those were days where a lot of things really started happening for people in business. People you haven't heard from in years may have called. But some out of the ordinary things that were very positive occurred on Monday and Tuesday of this week because of that.
The moon is very fleeting, isn't it? She doesn't stay long in any one sign at all.
No, two and a half days, and that's it. It's done. It's gone.
Well, what I'm curious about is, okay, so we have this grand trine in the water signs. Does it take other, what else can happen to trigger an actual event? For example, transiting planets like Mars and things of that nature. Can you tell us a little bit about what transiting Mars might can do to shake up this trine?
Well, it's not so, Mars could do some damage, but it'd more be when the moon is full or when it's noon. When it's full or when it's new or when it's full. So the next aspect I'd be looking for was when the moon goes into Pisces and conjuncts Neptune and adds more water to the already existing grand trine in water. So if, you know, on September, when we get to the exact day, let's see here, it's like the 18th and 19th, when the moon goes into Pisces and it also lines up with Neptune. At that point in time, Venus is also in Scorpio. So we have the moon and Venus also in water signs, along with the other three. So we've got five planets in water signs at that point in time. So and then the other planets are in earth signs. And so if you combine earth with water, what do you get?
Mud.
You get mud.
Landslides.
That can eat mudslides, and mud moves, so it can be the West Coast could have a lot of mudslide issues. And also, as an aspect of sinkholes, here in the Atlanta area, we've had some issues with sinkholes in the past, but it also indicates that in the next year or so, we can have a lot more sinkholes or issues here. And, well, at least where I live, I know it to be true, because Atlanta has a lot of Scorpio planets in it and Capricorn, so... We will get that, but that's something that can be impacted in other places as well.
Sinkholes can be quite deadly. Can you imagine laying in your bed listening to your iPod or whatever, and then the next thing you know, you're about 12 feet underground with a couple tons of earth on top of you? I mean, that happened to a man in Florida recently. You know, the sinkholes can kill you.
It's pretty frightening. It happened in Atlanta. My sister, when she was married to her husband, he worked at one of the hotels down Atlanta in Midtown, in the Marriott Courtyard, and he'd gone in at 5 o'clock in the morning to set up the breakfast bar, and a lady that always worked with him, she had a little kid, and she was a single mom, and she parked her car in the parking lot. And before she could get out of the car, there was a sinkhole that collapsed, and her car totally disappeared in the parking lot. It went about 25 or 30 feet down. And it was a major pipe burst, and she was found way down underneath there, and like 2 blocks away.
Oh my good! 2 blocks away from the event.
Yeah, underneath the city street. Period.
Oh man, that is.
I mean,
awful.
It's just like the earth opened up and she was gone.
That's something of biblical proportions, almost.
I know, but it seems like we, with this particular aspect, there's a lot of more unusual phenomena like that that we can anticipate. And it's not something you want to have happen, but this, that's exactly what these aspects can imply.
Well, a lot of people, you know, they might scoff at the notion that astrology can say anything at all about the weather, but these same people will attribute a religious significance to this, the crazy weather that we've been having. And, you know, they intuit that something celestial is going on, that something bigger than themselves is responsible for all of this crazy weather. You know, so what do you think about this idea that there is some, I don't want to say religious significance, but the tradition, the Christian tradition, they quote the scripture that you can't tell the seasons due to the blossoms of the trees and things like of that nature. You know, what do you think about the religious aspects of this? What do you think the religious people will their reaction would be to all of this crazy weather? I'm curious.
Well, kind of like maybe like Armageddon, or it's like the end times, like the last part of the Bible, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelations.
Right.
There'll be signs of fire in the sky, or signs in the heaven. But
right,
yeah,
it's an apocalyptic.
It's definitely escalated in the last few years compared to what it has been. Because it's, you know, we just never know. A tornado can touch down in no time. And we've had, and even here in Atlanta, we've had at least once a week, a bolt of lightning has come down and hit someone's house and just totally taken out the house. And I can't remember in the 53 years I've been alive that, you know, it seems like every week there's a thunderstorm that comes through and a bolt of lightning hits someone's house and it's totally torched. I mean, it's almost been like a weekly occurrence here.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, out of the ordinary. But the other positive thing is that since we are spiritual beings in what appears to be a physical form, we are magnetic energy, we're not what we think we are, we're the thoughts that we think, we have the ability to work with this information and change it. Collective consciousness is a very powerful thing. So through prayer and through meditation, we have the ability to offset some of these things I've talked about tonight.
So we can use a collective sort of power to shunt the energy into a different manifestation. Is what you're getting at?
Yeah, we can change it, make it positive, impact the world in a very positive way with it, and that's the water signs are compassion and love and the feeling nature, and working more with our emotional self, our emotional body, and making that conscious connection. And it could be through mantra, yantra, or certain songs, or chanting. You know, those always seem to be pretty powerful. Singing is very. Mantras or yantras or singing or chanting is very powerful. But like, you know, when they have the World Aid concerts, everybody goes and sings, you know, how much fun that is. It's like it makes, you know, like that Coca-Cola song that came out a long time, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. If more and more people would work along those lines, we have the ability to change a great deal.
Well, we'll definitely have plenty of opportunity to change a great deal because especially the slower moving planets like Neptune, he's going to be in Pisces for a good long time, I think, until about 2025. So we definitely got some time. But Reverend Charlene, we have to go to commercial break. We have to go to commercial break real fast. We're going to take a break for about 1 minute and we'll come right back. But before we go, I'd like to remind everybody that you can visit charlenehicks.com and get a nice discount off of any kind of booking or session with Reverend Hicks. She's not only an astrologer, but also a psychic medium as well. And that offer is good until Sunday. So we will be right back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com?
Welcome back. You are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, brought to you by PsychicSXS.com. And tonight we have with us Reverend Charlene Hicks, and we are, in true Southern fashion, talking about the weather. Reverend Hicks, before we left, I asked about Neptune in Pisces. This is one of my personal favorites because, well, he's just so slow. He's going to be there for a long time. You see, so
that's
it's
right.
Energy we'd better get used to.
That's right. Better get used to it.
And you said earlier that Neptune likes to dissolve things, and you specifically mentioned shorelines and erosion types of issues. Can you give us a little bit more information about the weather effects Neptune might have?
Well, Neptune is called the cosmic Santa Claus. Neptune rules ethers. It rules drugs, hospitals, and institutions. That which is behind the scenes, nebulous things. Gaseous substances, perfumes, liquids, water, and poisons. So Neptune can be like termites in your walls. You can't see it, but if I put my hand up there, my hand goes through the wall. Well, there's Neptune. It camouflages stuff, so you can't always tell exactly what it is because it's like it casts shadows. Neptune rules the unconscious mind, rules movies, subliminal messages. So when Neptune's in Pisces, since Pisces rules, it's in its own sign, rules the ocean, and it has to do with tapping into our unconsciousness. It has to do with spiritual ashrams. It has to do with music and higher vibrations. And Neptune is also the higher octave of the planet Venus. And Venus is personal love, our personal ability to attract things to us, from a financial standpoint, whatever abilities are, but also our personal love life. Neptune is a higher octave of Venus, and it has to do with, like, the Christic consciousness, divine love and compassion. And it has to do with the great sacrifice. So on the one hand, it rules feet, and it rules the lymphatic system of the body. So there would be the new discoveries, and maybe things would help people with foot issues, one. But the lymphatic system, like AIDS or hard-to-diagnose illnesses, usually is attributed to Neptune's strong influence in the chart when you're looking at a natal chart of someone. So Neptune would have to do with discoveries that would be helpful in the healing arts. And it could a lot to do with the fact that they find how powerful sound is on healing. You know, we have lasers, which are lights, but also how sound and tones and a certain resonance is very healing. The Aborigines, they communicate telepathically, but they know how to do tones and sounds. And if I jumped off a bridge and I had a compound fracture, the Aborigines could come stand around me and do a certain tone, and my leg would be instantaneously healed and no longer a compound fracture.
Wow.
They have this, and there are people on the earth plane that have that ability. And that's something in the next few years we'll become more and more aware of, is the impact on sound and vibration, how it impacts us from a spirit, from our spiritual body, from our mental body, from our emotional body, and from our physical body. Sound really does. And so think about the tests they've been doing on the ocean floor with sonar. And a lot of the whales have beached themselves, and the dolphins have come up because of sonar activity on the ocean floor as a weaponry. So sound, you know, sometimes the frequency, we can't hear it, but we could feel it, and it can make us also physically ill. The ancients knew a great deal about sound and how to levitate things through sound. So if you can levitate things with sound, why couldn't it also produce a healing to certain organs of our body? You know, Edgar Cayce talks about these things. You know, it has to do with the etheric body. And that's something that's going to be more and more known about or talked about or scientifically proven in this time frame with Neptune in Pisces, is about the etheric body and how we can diagnose illness if you can see in the auric field, the etheric body, what's wrong with the person before it impacts them physically and has to be surgically removed. So certain sounds and certain resonances, it's very healing. And that's something that's going to become more and more apparent and taught at universities, that how important certain vibration is. Color has a vibration. color is very healing. And they've done studies in a place in England. A guy was a great color theorist. And they had a factory, and they asked him to come out because these women, they changed the temperature to 72 degrees, but the women never took off their coats. They complained it was too cold in there. And so the walls were painted this dull gray color. And the color theorist guy came in there and said, you need to paint the walls peach, and then everything will be fine. Well, peach is orange and white, which creates sociability and is communication and makes people happy. So because of that, they when they painted it that color, the women complained it was too hot at 72. They went back to 68, and the women never put their coats back on. So color has a vibration, and the color vibration also has a note or a musical note that correlates with the color. So through color and sound, certain resonance or tones, we can heal people with that as well.
That's interesting. The
Egyptians knew about that because if you had, say, a blood disorder, you'd go into the pyramid at a certain time. There's a big crystal in there. When the sunlight hit it, all of a sudden it becomes the blue room. So if you had lesions on the body or topical issues with lesions or skin issues, the blue is cooling, so that would help that. If you had a blood disorder, then you need to be in with the red room because the red is the color of the blood, but also gives you energy. It's the color of physical life force energy. So color and sound will be something that comes up more and more with Neptune and Pisces, these subtle things that we've always seen it, we've always kind of known it, but to the extent of it and how this can be seen in a person's auric field, in their etheric body, and how that's impacting them physically on these other levels.
Well, I do believe sound has a special significance as well because it's a sense that can cross lines. For example, bats and other animals echolocate, and I even saw a blind human. I saw a special about a blind human who could get around by echolocation just as easily as you and I could get around using our sense of sight. So maybe advances in that field will come into prominence, and sound will actually be leveraged for its healing powers. I'm hoping that Jupiter might help with that, because we can't forget these planets are locked in a trine with one another where they cooperate with one another, no?
And they do. Yeah, and Jupiter and Cancer would have to do with a special type of, it could be dealing with hospice care or homes for an education, but educating people more about family and the continuity of family, and from the spiritual standpoint, that pretty much everyone is our family, that, you know, there is this common denominator that we're really not split or separate. But Cancer has a lot to do with family, and it has to do with women, and it has a lot to do with nurturing and taking care of people, because it represents the mother. And Jupiter has to do with colleges and universities, higher education, lawyers, doctors, things at a distance. It has to do with the superconscious mind and what the world thinks. So it's the quality of consciousness is that we are all one, that nothing is really split or separate. And this
Amazing.
Is something that will be an ongoing thing that becomes stronger and stronger. And I also believe that during this time frame, you know, when you and I go to sleep at night, our body sleeps, but we go to class every night. Our spiritual self doesn't sleep. We're always learning something on other dimensions. We may not be consciously aware of it, but we are. So there's a lot of this is becoming more and more part of the conscious waking state. You know how you're driving and you kind of go into automatic pilot, like you're in a light trance state. Well,
right.
We're getting stuff all the time. But more and more people are going to learn about this, you know, methods of hypnosis or the methods of induction to remember things, but also to be more in that lucid state where they can retrieve things from the unconscious mind. And I think that's something that's going to be more apparent as time unfolds, is how powerful our unconscious mind is, and being able to tap into that is probably one of the most powerful things of all. What is in our unconscious mind to be able to understand and draw from that in a greater capacity, what the brain can really do, especially the unconscious.
And that's sort of going to be an unavoidable side effect of this grand trine in the water signs. I mean, rather bluntly looking at it, we see there's going to be a lot of water, but keeping in mind that the water element stands for the subconscious, the emotional bodies, and all of that good stuff, with these three important planets there, then this is going to amount to a fairly radical transformation. America ought to be a much different place, you know, in 2020, 2025 than it is today. It's going to be interesting to see the changes that we're going to undergo.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of them. And with Saturn and Scorpio, it brings things from the underneath the surface to the light. Saturn also has to do, Scorpio has to do a secret. So Saturn shows a lot of things about maybe the ancient mystery schools or things being discovered, ancient texts or tablets or archaeological digs, and things being brought to light that really explain a lot about how we're here, where do we come from, what is truly our lineage, and other things that, won't be, be able to be refuted by other people because there'll be the factual information to back it up.
Oh, that reminds me of a National Geographic article I read about this young Incan girl. I can't even pronounce the name of the mountain in Peru where they found her at. She found at the summit of a mountain 22,000 feet high. She was left there as a sacrifice 500 years ago, and her body looks just as if it had been, like, just as if she had died yesterday. I mean, recognizable facial features. And this is all reminding me of Saturn and Scorpio. You know, the coldness of Saturn, the frigidity of Saturn, the healing of Scorpio, and, you know, the medicinal aspects of Scorpio, because they're, you know, taking samples of this young girl's hair and all of this good stuff. And hearing you talk about the archaeological treasures that we're finding and linking those, correlating those to our spiritual development, makes me think of this young 15-year-old maiden who died 500 years ago and just looks as if she passed away yesterday. It's really amazing to see a picture of this girl. I showed some of my friends, yeah, and they thought that I was trying to hoax them. I had to prove.
Look, the other thing is, with all the water planets, it has a lot to do with the feminine energy, the Gaia energy, the Earth energy coming back. Less of the masculine warring factions of the Aries, or that is more the softer feminine energy, the nurturing energy from all the water signs too. And in Peru, they said that when they looked at the Incas, they weren't, the high priests weren't men, they were all women. And that's information that hasn't really come out yet, but they found that all the high priests of that were Incas were women.
Well, this emphasis on the watery signs certainly has to be a cosmic push toward a respect and an increased reverence for the feminine, because we've lost any mechanism for honoring the feminine with the advent of the masculine solar religions such as Christianity, Islam, Judaism. We've lost the psychological mechanism for honoring the goddess, for honoring the feminine principle. And I'm hoping that this emphasis in the water signs will be a push in that direction, you see.
It definitely is the need for greater understanding, compassion, at the world at large, and other countries, and you know, the dividing of things up and equally sharing that what we have, instead of trying to hoard stuff, but to realize that there's enough for everyone, and that there isn't a lack. There's, get rid of the lack consciousness that seems to permeate. And I think it's more propaganda than anything else. There's plenty of everything for everybody. But the way the government and everybody else trying to get in their control us and creates all this fear and negative energy, and reality is that there is an abundance everywhere. And that if you're a spiritual being and what appears to be a visible form, your magnetic energy, you have the ability to draw and invoke to yourself exactly what you need wherever it is you are. And money has nothing to do with it. It has to do with your own consciousness. That, you know, nothing is split or separate. And that was what Jesus talked about. That all the things I have done, ye shall do, and even greater. And people always never seem to remember that, but he was a way shower. He didn't come to start a religion. He came to impart that this is a way to live and to incorporate the spiritual qualities into your life and believe that all things are possible. And I always tell my clients, if it didn't happen at 4:52, doesn't mean it can't happen at 6:52. You know, sometimes it's in God's time, you know, or maybe God has a different plan for us. We just can't see it right now.
So true. And I'm thinking sometimes it takes takes a meteorological disaster to drive home this point that there is plenty to go around for everyone. Sometimes it takes a tsunami in Thailand or Japan in order to unify us and get us to share our abundance with those who need it the most. Sometimes it takes a meteorological weather disaster to make that happen. Maybe this could be one of the reasons, you know, one of the lessons behind the future weather we're going to have to suffer through. Because I worry about the developing world.
You know, you worry about what now?
I worry about the third world, the developing world, the place, the countries that lack infrastructure to deal with massive floods and the problems with crops and the rise of disease, you know, waterborne illnesses that are going to come from this and all of that good stuff. I fear that they're going to feel the brunt of all of this weather wrath, you know?
Yeah, well, at the same time, the collective consciousness of the Aquarian Age, which we find ourselves in, we have the ability to send this positive energy as a group of people, just like through prayer, to other places that need it. And it really is felt. The angel world and other than magnetic qualities from the spiritual realm help. And they hear us. And there always is help around. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean they're not helping in some capacity. And people, I think, are becoming more and more aware of this presence, the spiritual presence, that there's something else at work here. And how things magically appear and disappear at times. But there are more unusual things happening that are very profound. And what we would consider miracles, really, in spiritual terms, is a part of who we are, the highest expression of who we are. It actually is. It can be a daily occurrence. It doesn't have to be just once in a blue moon, but it can happen daily if we're open to it. And that's where our consciousness is leading us towards that greater place.
Well, let me ask you this, Reverend Hicks. Every time there's a Katrina or a tsunami and everybody, you know, pulls together and donates, etc., we lapse back into a mentality of materialism and selfishness, as I'm speaking collectively here. Could we dodge future catastrophes if we can somehow maintain this attitude of sharing and compassion? Would that be manifesting the energy healthily, or are we still going to get hit by the weather train regardless?
I think there's still going to be, but I think it lessens the St. Germain and Travis Bay and the rest of them have always said that we have the ability to change these things. We have the consciousness to do it. And through what we've studied and know, this is true. It really is true because I've seen Buzz Aldrin three times in my life, and I've actually got to talk to him on my own privately. And he once stated that the Russians learned about low frequency, and they were determined to get California to fall into the ocean, and they started sending this low frequency to our West Coast. And we have nothing to defer that kind of energy coming to the West Coast at that time. And he said the powers that be made sure that nothing happens because California is still there. But he said there was nothing we could do to defend ourselves against that.
Wow. That's scary. What do you think about all these people?
But the cool thing is, just because they have all those war, the weapons and stuff, doesn't mean that it's always going to work or that there isn't interference from above. Otherwise, we would have been annihilated a long time ago. We would have just nuked ourselves out a long time ago. But there are powers that be that keep things in balance and in check. And I feel like there's always been help from above.
And what do you think about
in our lifetime, in the next couple of years, we'll see more of those things happening. And it's going to be a very profound awakening. You know, when you look at the tarot cards or you look at what is Judgment Day, it has to do with the age of Aquarius. It's a level of consciousness that we attain. And it's, you know, the key word for Aquarius is I know. So as we go to sleep every night, we're in class. I'm in class with you every night learning something. And and then when we're conscious, you know, on some level we know things. We don't know how we know it. We just know, like, 7 times 7 is 49. Well, one day we're going to wake up, and when we need to know this information, it'll be there for us. And that's the time of enlightenment. And that's what's unfolding over this next year. More and more this energy is growing in a positive effect to help us deal with these changes. And we have to make the ability to make it a lesser severity than what it is. But astrologically, these are some of the things that the planets actually describe will come to pass. if we know that now, we have the ability to make it lesser than what it can be and how to deal with it, to have the consciousness to deal with it and move forward.
Lovely. Well, Reverend Hicks, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our fascinating time together. I wish to thank you on behalf of my co-hosts and audience for joining us tonight. You've been an absolute treasure.
Well, thank you. And then anyone that's listening out there, if they would like to get a session with me between now and Sunday, it's $50 off an hour session, or it's $35 off a half-hour session. And just to let me call and say you're from Burn, North Carolina, you heard me on the radio show, and then I'll know that it's you, and I'll give you that discount.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Reverend Hicks. Everybody, you can find her at charlenehicks.com. She's a psychic medium as well as an astrologer. She can contact spirits. She encourages you to contact her with a list of questions in hand, and she will send you away very satisfied. So please visit charlenehicks.com. Reverend Hicks, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on your show. It was a pleasure.
Likewise. See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements here. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, myself, Maureen, Brenda, and Steve. We will announce that call-in number later, so have your pen and paper handy. If you were unable to catch last week's show, you're going to find a recorded archive link as well as all the archives of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate that archive links and future show details to your friends and family. What we want to do here is connect with as many of you as possible, so we want you to share that link with others. Don't be shy. Let them know who we are. Now, we also want you to be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to the paranormal. This is the encyclopedia arm, the research department of what we do in the Psychic Access family of websites. You don't want to miss all of the jewels over there. I can guarantee you'll spend a couple of days and evenings getting lost in all of the marvelous articles over there. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, and when I say the best professional psychics on the net, I do mean the very best, you want to navigate over to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the most accurate, most rigorously tested psychics on the internet, each with her or his own unique gift. Every one of our psychics has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics in the world. It's an honor working with our executive producer, Doug, and Psychic Access because of the high standards, the high expectations, and the absolute zero tolerance for fraudulence that is required of each psychic. All of my co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you. By the way, if you're a webmaster or site owner, you can put 50 cents per minute on every reading in your pocket on traffic that you refer to us to psychicaccess.com. For more details on that program, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, I'd like you to invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for every last one of you. So spread the word. We definitely appreciate it. So I believe we've come to that part of the program where we get my co-host's input on what has happened. What did you guys think of all of this? Shall we start with Lady Brenda? Lady Brenda, what did you think?
You know what? I felt that it was really interesting. I particularly liked, well, the stuff that she was saying about, you know, astrology being related to the weather and the crops and everything. We know the ancient Egyptians had daily calendars that had, they talked about all that stuff. So they were a magical society. So, you know, we've come so far in so many ways, but in so many other ways, we've taken so many steps backwards. And I also liked what she talked about when it came to colorology, because that is really, you know, every color has a significance, and it really does, you know, say a lot about you, you know, what, like what your favorite colors are. Like, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color is red. I like black too, because it looks good against my translucent skin.
Red, that's interesting. It'd have to be a deep red, huh?
Yeah, I shouldn't ask you how you know you're a psychic, for crying out loud. But yeah, I like a nice, vibrant, almost maroon type of color. And if it's shot with hints of black and orange, I'm even happier, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, red's in the color of attraction. Red's in the color of quick action, attraction.
And sex.
Well, that's wonderful. I wonder what that says about me. Does it say I'm a nice guy?
Y'all? You're a young man on the prowl. No, I'm kidding.
On the prowl. Well, which part about being on the prowl, being young? Youngish.
Younger than us. Well, I wear it almost exclusively black, and I don't know why. I just like it.
It looks good on your complexion, Lady Brenda, if you don't mind my observing that.
Except when my dance costumes are all colors of the rainbow. But for the most part, I wear black.
I've seen you in your dance get-ups when you post and you share pictures and everything. It's quite impressive. Splash of color. I can imagine you out there pirouetting and twirling.
Well, you've been creeping
about a rainbow.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
You know, the ancient Egyptians used a lot of royal blue. You know, and reds and royal blues and golds.
Interesting. So, Greek colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regal colors. I think I read somewhere that the ancient Egyptians were, I don't want to say a vain people, but very peculiar about their looks. If you look at their hieroglyphs, and you don't see any obesity in hieroglyphs hardly. They're all very stylized and beautiful.
No, they do that, but they would. That was how they presented themselves. Like if a pharaoh had a pot belly, they never showed him as a pot belly. They showed him all buffed out and stuff. When you go there, you see the temples, and you know on the very top, there's still some original paint. So those they look just like you. The pictures you've seen, they look just the color of stone. But actually, back in the day, there were vibrant colors. They're painted vibrant colors, whites and reds and greens and blues. It was just, black, all vibrant colors.
Interesting. The ancient Egyptians definitely relied on movements of the stars and movements of the planets, because they waited for the Nile to flood. That was the basis of their entire economy, and they knew that Nile was going to flood when they saw certain stars appear on the horizon.
Yes, and now they're thinking about Ethiopia is thinking about damming up part of the Nile, and it's thrown them into a panic because it's their livelihood, and they're suffering so bad now anyhow, you know?
Poor Egypt. That's such a complex issue. I don't even pretend to understand that. It seems as if it changes every single day.
I know it.
Well, Maureen, what did you think about the show tonight? And by the way, today is a very special day for Maureen.
Oh, okay. Yes, it is, isn't it? She's like, what, 90? And I look great.
No, you look...
yeah.
You look
25 years old. Boy, I wish I was 25.
Brenda, that's just too much. Brenda.
You're still ravishing, Maureen.
We all know what you like, Steve, here, okay?
That transparent...
Yeah, it's so cute. Yeah, okay. I thought, I missed part of it because I was having some of the technical gods were doing their thing on me, just towards me. Uh-oh. But I was really enjoying her energy, and what she was talking about was, it wasn't all over the place, but everything kind of fused together with what she was talking about. I really liked it. But speaking of the color stuff that Brenda brought up, I did like. And I know she did touch on that, but and also waterfront property. But I do feel that I was remembering. I'm looking up there's the symbol, color symbolism in the Buddhist, or the in ways Buddhist art and ritual, especially in the Tibetan Buddhism. There's like five colors, so it's like. Colors are so really important. It's almost like the numerology and the colors of vibrations and colors and vibrations and everything else. But I myself, yes, like black. But that blue that Brenda you were talking about just now, the Egyptian with the blue, it's like the color. It's like, what would you call it?
Cobalt,
but it's
like a royal blue. It's lighter than cobalt. It's very translucent almost.
Yeah, I really like that. And it's interesting because like, but it, again, the symbolism of the colors and such. I found that it was lovely that she touched base on that. Lovely it was.
Well,
touched base.
You know, because I'm so, all of my testosterone prevents me from having any intelligence with color. I see, like, only the primary colors. All you guys talking about cobalt, and it's lighter than cobalt,
well,
and cerulean and azure and all this stuff. Goes right over my head.
No, but I'm talking, you know, my daughter's eyes are really pretty, and I always say cobalt blue in her eyes, and it's not that, I'm not talking just regular powder blue, but you know what I mean. But it is a calm, there's a calming or coolness to something like that, and healing. I don't know, I always felt. But red, well, that's, you know, Steve, you kind of said that, Zach. You know, that, you know, down in New Orleans on Bienville Street, the red light.
The red light district, yeah.
So if you like it's red.
Not, it's not the blue light district.
No, it's called the red light.
It, you know, politicians, they understand the significance of color. You don't see them in little, you know, with pastel ties on, you know.
Look at those ties and see what they're really about.
It, you can tell, absolutely.
It's a red power tie.
It is a power red tie every time.
Yeah.
Watch out, everybody. Here they come. Yeah. Is Steve still with us? He's so quiet.
Well, we're going to have to change that. Mr. Steve, you're very familiar with our guest tonight. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Please give us your impressions.
Oh, I thought it was very interesting. You know, I'm a big fan of astrology. I was reading, I was doing some research actually this afternoon on any scientific evidence substantiating the belief that there is this connection between the planets in our solar system and human behavior. And it's interesting that you guys were talking about color, because our sensitivity to colors changes with not only the lunar rhythm, but also the movement of the other planets. And I know from my studies that everything is interconnected. So, for example, a planet in astrology correlates with a color that correlates with a tarot card, that correlates with a musical note, that correlates with characteristics or behaviors, etc. So it's absolutely fascinating. But I've been staggered by the amount of rainfall we've had in East Tennessee this year. I've never seen anything like it. And it's just every day we get a lot of rain. And normally this time of year, it's unbearably hot. And all over the world, we're seeing these floods, and it is that grand trine in water signs. But also, people usually think that a grand trine is very positive. But this particular grand trine includes Saturn, and Saturn as the major malefic tends to bring complications or lessons and restrictions. So we are going to see many more issues with water, whether it's the availability of drinking water or excessive amounts of water, such as flooding, or difficulties with drought in certain parts of the world. Lots of water issues. I also think that the issue about the fluoridation of water in the United States will come to the forefront in the next couple of years. And remember that Neptune also governs pharmaceuticals, and I feel very strongly that the pharmaceutical industry is really going to come under scrutiny, and Monsanto will come under scrutiny as well in 2015. So we've got a lot that's bubbling to the surface.
Yes, that should be interesting. And you're quite right in pointing out that just because it's a harmonious aspect doesn't mean it's a harmonious effect. Because when you have disasters lining up and acting harmoniously with each other, that just facilitates disaster.
Yeah, you know? I was studying actually James Holmes's natal astrology and progressed astrology. James Holmes is the guy that is responsible or allegedly responsible for the mass shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And he's got an exceptionally challenging chart, and I was on a conference call discussing his chart because I'm working on a project to look at how we can use metaphysics to try and provide insight to law enforcement, to particularly around mass murderers and shooters. And somebody said, oh, well, he's got the grand trine, and that's really positive. And I said, well, It's a grand trine involving Saturn and the ascendant and Jupiter in retrograde. So it can't be considered as a positive element of his astrology. So you're right. We shouldn't just presume. I also find with astrology that you really have to look in detail. You really have to dig and dig and dig. There is just an infinite amount of information available. Even, for example, and you know, you can look at a chart of a murder victim, and if you know where to look, you can find the name of the killer in the chart if you plot the asteroids correctly. It's just incredible.
Yes, you know, they say that if you erect a horoscope for an accident or catastrophe or fire or what have you, you know, you'll find a lot of trines in there. You know, you'll find a lot of trines in there that facilitate the accident happening. So it's really, really interesting stuff. You know, it's nothing to take lightly, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just get frustrated by the lack of commitment out there to explore the science of it. You know, it's quite hard to find good scientific validation of astrology. I emailed NASA and asked if they had any information on their website about the correlation between the movement of the planets and human behavior, and I got a really rude response. I mean, it didn't even say good morning, Steve. It was just a one really short one-line email. Didn't even have the name of the person that was responding to me, and just basically said, "No, we don't."
Yeah, and you know what? Those ingrates. If it wasn't for astrology, there would be no astronomy.
Yeah,
astronomy totally came out of astrology.
I do feel for NASA because I think that they're really being stripped of resource. But still, I was very shocked to get an email that I felt was so rude.
Yes, they feel superior because they're so, you know, so-called scientists. But really, how scientific is it to close your mind off to one entire dimension of inquiry? You know, I definitely believe astrology would benefit from application of the scientific method.
Sure, absolutely.
I really do.
And we need more people like, you know, Dean Radin, the physicist who has dedicated his career to the exploration and validation of extrasensory perception. That's a really challenging and nebulous area to go after. I feel as though astrology is far more factual and evidential, but there seems to be very little engagement out there in the scientific community, which is a shame.
Yes, you and I have had occasion to talk about this, and I believe I've shared with you my idea that the path toward validation is going to lie in various disciplines, such as geology, biology, things of that nature. So hopefully the future will bring us some increased respect and validation for this art and science of ours, astrology.
Yep, for sure.
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to go ahead and announce the call-in number. That would be 724-444-4851. Okay, one more time. That's 724-444-4851. We'll be taking your calls and questions. We ask that you limit your questions to just one so that we can get to everybody. We have to take the phone calls first due to the fact that they're waiting. But if we can get through all of those, then we can take questions from the chat room. Okay, so please be aware, each call is going to be automatically placed on hold and answered in the order received. So we haven't hung up on you. You're in the queue to wait. So just relax and listen to the show while you're waiting. When you get on the air with one of the psychics, we ask that you be as clear and direct with your question as possible. Know exactly what it is you would like to know, and that will help us to address your issue in an effective way, and we can get more calls in. So thank you for that. Go ahead and burn those phones up. We'd like to hear from you. So, yes, I absolutely feel enlightened by the Reverend Hicks. She was such a joy to get to know, to tell you the truth. I feel like I have learned a lot from her. This business of predicting the weather through astrology is actually kind of new to me, quite frankly, and I'm kind of loving it.
Well, you like all that kind of stuff, Stephen.
Yes, I like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. He's very much into all that.
Well, and then some.
And then some.
Well, Brenda, you know what? We actually have a caller for you from New York State.
Okay. Hi, New York. How can I help you this evening?
Hello?
Hi there. How can I help you this evening?
I'm okay. I was just wondering, I think I called last week and I had just started a job. And I was feeling like I wasn't doing well, and the person I talked to said that I was actually going to succeed, and I was just laid off today. And I'm actually kind of happy that I got laid off because I really wasn't doing well, but I'm just wondering why the prediction went so wrong.
Well, when we do the readings, we tell you what we see. You have free will. See what I mean? And
yeah.
The purpose of a psychic reading is to prepare you, you know, because we see it from many different angles. We give you the past, present, and the future. And, you know, this is knowledge that in many times, you know, if we see something and it doesn't happen, it means that other things have interfered. Like perhaps there was something that was unexpected, something that you felt that you needed to do that you didn't do. So I can't speak for the reading last week. All I can say is that, you know, there are many levels to what happened here. And it could even be that you wanting out of this job created a situation in which you left it, which often happens. And I feel that it's for a reason, because this job was not a fit for you. It feels like you need to find something that's a better fit and which you can feel more comfortable, because it looks like there was people on this job that intimidated you in some way.
Okay.
Yeah. And so ahead of you, you know, I believe if one door closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
And I see that within the next 5 weeks, there's going to be an opportunity for you again. And it's good money. And it's actually not a negative environment, because you're very sensitive to the environment and you need to have an environment in which you feel comfortable to work. And that's what I see coming your way. So, you know,
okay.
Things happen for a reason, honey.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Lady Brenda. That was a lovely, lovely reading. Yes,
you're welcome.
It's important to realize that we have to allow time to do its work. You know, like you said, we look into the past, the present, the future, and we see the full scope of the situation. Whereas a lot of times the client is spotlighted on the moment at hand, you see. So that was a very lovely reading, definitely.
Are we talking? Is there another call right now? Oh, never mind, there is.
Actually, yes, Steve just got a call from Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Who's calling from Pennsylvania? Hello, Pennsylvania?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Debbie.
Hello, Debbie. What's your question?
Well, I was wondering if you can see anything about my work situation.
Your work situation. Let me see.
It'd be Debbie.
Okay. What I see, actually, Debbie, I see quite a sudden change. And, you know, often we perceive that kind of change as something that's negative. something that's challenging, but if it needs to occur, then I guess it gets us on the right path. Are you working at the moment, or did you suddenly lose a job?
Yes, I'm working at the moment.
You are? Well, honestly, Debbie, I know that you work hard, but I feel that the path for you in the current role is actually uncertain, and I feel as though you need to start looking at opportunities or contingency planning. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but equally I want to share with you what I see. I feel that you'll be fine in the medium term, and I feel that actually you'll increase your income, and you'll be in a role that you very much enjoy. But I think you need to. I feel that you need to prepare yourself for change. That's what I'm saying. Do you feel that yourself?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I feel that there's going to be a change. I feel that that job's going to go. So, you know, the value of looking at things metaphysically, meta meaning beyond, and so we're looking beyond the physical world and into the inner plane and looking at what the energies are and what's coming. The great value of that is whether what we see is something joyful or something more challenging, we can prepare ourselves and ease the circumstances. So I feel that's what you need to do. You need to listen to your intuition that's saying to you this job's going to go, and you need to look at alternatives, create contingency plans so that when that occurs, you are going to be okay. But as I said, I do feel it will work out for you. I feel that you'll have a role that you prefer and you'll be happier than you are now. So it seems to me that it needs to happen. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Debbie. I wish you lots of luck. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Steve, thank you very much for that wonderful reading. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if anybody would like to interact and ask questions to Steve or Lady Brenda, Maureen, myself, you can find us at psychicaccess.com. Once again, if you would like to call in for a free reading tonight, the number is 724-444-4851. Okay, so we're waiting for some more calls here. Well, Maureen.
Yeah, I'm echoing.
You're echoing.
Can't talk.
That was probably me.
Oh, come on. I don't hear
any okay, echoes. I'm not. Okay, yes, I am. Oh, yes, Steve. Steven, what can I do for you?
Well, I want to know how your birthday has been. It's very special.
Yeah, it's the anniversary of my birth. You know, we're not born every year, but just
No, we're not. No, we're not. But you know, the upcoming year in astrology, we would call this the solar return, where you know, we could do a horoscope for you and get a picture of what the coming year looks like.
Well, I don't understand why it isn't done right now. I would have been talking. I'm just kidding.
That might be a good birthday present for you, Maureen.
But you have all my dirty information. You know that you do. You have everything.
Yes, I do. Actually,
I don't think I'm aging very. I'm tormented. I think aging is fine. In fact, you know, it's really nice. People should age gracefully. I think I have mental disorders when it comes to aging gracefully. It's not that I feel my age is bad for anybody else. It's just that I don't get it. I just don't get it. But I'm being funny about it. I'm just saying. I'm tired. I'm not tired. It's like, perhaps, listen, look at all these people, and women, especially Brenda, I'm sure you can agree, we have finally taken our place where we belong, and we can go and have whatever we want and not be frumpy.
Amen.
No?
Well, you're timeless, Maureen. You've got the spirit of a child and the wisdom of someone who's...
No. Thank you, Steve. You're nice. You're nice. And, you know, I pay you well to say that. Thank you. Say more. Don't let everybody really know. But
check in the mail.
Wait, I said it was on mute. Sorry. Yeah, checks in. There's Steve. Steve used to do that, but then he stopped it. He said, no more, Maury, no more. I won't take it.
I took over from him.
When
I joined the team, I was the new Maureen.
The new Maureen.
The new Maureen aide, I was about to say. There can't be more than one Maureen.
Why would there want to be? People would run. Just run. But,
I
you know.
People need more Maureens.
You know, you're just letting me, it's my turn, Brenda. I get to get off it now. Brenda and I are just loving. Us girls deserve this.
Oh, yeah, it's about time, you know, all that stuff.
Well,
I said.
Yeah, that's right. It's okay. Your mother taught you well, didn't she? Say thank you to her for me, okay? I tell her thank you.
She tried her best, you know. She did her best.
No, you can tell you're a nice young man.
It's hard being a parent. It's very difficult being a parent because you can never be sure. You always want to be the best parent you can be, but there's really no example that's going to really hold true for your own particular situation. You just have to pretty much wing it.
Be really actually honest about even when you're not doing the right thing to acknowledge that in front of your kids.
Exactly, you do.
And I think that's very important.
Yeah, it is very important.
Yes.
And one thing that I found is important, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maureen, but when they get to be in their teen years or their, you know, you've got to be in their business 24/7.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, and it makes a big difference because, your daughter didn't get pregnant, nor did mine, because you know why? We both knew their business.
You are in their business 24/7.
That's right, and you know, we're openly, and that's how it should be. It's sad to think that these other parents that are younger than I was, the younger ones, were not wanting that, and these kids are getting pregnant because they weren't in their business.
And then they expect the teachers to raise the kids.
I know. The teachers are supposed to blame. Or then we all know about how the grandparents have been taking over in the world. They're having a whole load of kids from their children. I mean, that's sad. That's almost like a given nowadays, it seems like.
That's got to be difficult. Having psychics for parents has really got to be difficult.
Oh, yeah, my daughter.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you stories.
My daughter. It's kind of cool though when they're not like but it's interesting later on when they get older. It's kind of crosses over, but my daughter would be embarrassed. Then she was embarrassed when I pick her up at school with the doors playing too. But when she was, but you know, her friends all of a sudden wouldn't be. Then she wouldn't be. She was a little bit, and I'd take it too hard. I took it too personally. I'm glad she wasn't. You know, it's good to have her a little bit. She was grounding. It's very structured, different than I am. I'm crazy. Brenda's daughter. I met Brenda's daughter. She's really great. My daughter's great too. But you know, they're good. They're both.
They're good kids. They're good kids.
And, you know, and it is because it's about intention. The way we read in that woman that called a little while ago, is that we all have, our intention is good. Well, a lot of readers sometimes, maybe not, I'm not saying anything against them. We're not, you know, here. But and if you don't have good intention for anything, it's just, you know, and if your children watch that well, they're going to not have it so much either. So,
yeah. So
you'll find that out someday when you have children, young Stephen. I'm joking.
Yes, Steven. That's right.
How old are you now? 45?
I'm joking.
I know he's not. I'm just messing with him.
How old are you?
I'm actually going to be 30.
35?
38. Yeah, I'm going to be 38 on August 23rd. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You're another August birthday. That's right. And then Brenda and Steve are still the winter people. See, it's interesting.
Dark winter people.
And Bobby was a winter person too. Yeah, and before. See, things are kind of changing in the equator. It's tilting. Yeah. So.
We've got a lot of Leo energy in Psychic Access Talk Radio now. A lot of lion energy.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Bark is bigger than the bite? No. It means I know I'm a typical Leo by the outside of myself, but you know I get that the other stuff. You know, and I wasn't I'm an actress, but you know what? Yes, actually I have a lot of typical Leo, but I have a little bit. You know, we have a little bit of everything, don't we?
We do. I have my ascendant's Leo.
Yeah, my ascendant is Pisces. You know, and that's where I think it. And I'm I was a water person, a competitive swimmer, and I love shoes. And Brenda, I'm sure a lot of Pisces around you too.
the shoes. Pisces in me, but I do love shoes.
I know, but I can usually tell men if they're Pisces. Their shoes, they wear no socks with their shoes. Yes, Stephen, what were you going to say? We are like fermenting.
That's fine. I love it. Now, I was just going to say that, Brenda, you actually would be more perceptibly a Leo than I myself, because your ascendant is there. People will perceive you as being more Leonine than me, you know, because my son is there. It's going to take people a while to see my Leo qualities. I have to get to know them first.
Well, yeah, but you look like, you know, the hair and stuff.
He's got Robert Plant hair.
Yes, yeah. And Robert Plant,
Plant hair. Boy, I remember the day looking up and seeing those jeans. No.
I love it. He does have the.
Oops! What did I say? No.
Yeah, in fact, I saw him in concert not too long ago. Yeah, he was really good lately. Never mind about that. But it's the same. Yeah, you have that hair going.
I tell you what, you're having too much fun. We're gonna have to.
I have a call.
Yes.
Oh, I do. You have a call, Maureen.
Hi, Pennsylvania. And that song goes 26,000 or whatever. Hello, Pennsylvania. Is it Cheryl? Hi, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Oh, I believe she left us. I believe she lost the connection.
Oh, well, she'll be back. I'll look for her. I'll bring her back in with my mind.
There you go. That would be
good. I tried to sing that song, you know, 26 to 5. Well, we had to go Pennsylvania. 20, you know that. Oh, come on. Brenda.
What song are you talking about?
It's just a Glenn Miller song. It's a Pennsylvania 6-5000. Isn't it? You know, the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I started to sing that tune. Okay, but I like my tunes. Yeah, you remember. Okay, so thank you. So I'm not crazy. Or am I? Yeah, I have that. I like that. And Stephen, you don't know what the heck we're talking about, but whatever.
I'm afraid not.
Well, do you like West Side Story of show tunes?
Yes.
I can start singing some. Bobby. No, you know, Bobby, we used to have him doing the show tunes. You know, that was always fun. And
Bobby was really big on show tunes.
Yes, and I was always happy to ask him to do those show tunes. It was fun. Now, Stephen, what do you feel about show tunes? Are you up for them?
I was going to ask if you could do something from Oliver, maybe, or
no. What about you, though? Would you be willing? I could do Fiddler on the Roof. If I were rich, I can do the whole thing. If you want me to stand up, I do. Yes,
Fiddler on the Roof.
And I could do that. And yeah, I can do word by word, word for. I love that movie.
Jesus Christ Superstar? Can you do the?
Yes, I know. Just use, and I can pull that out of my hat too. And
that's a big spot. I saw that.
And West Side Story, yeah, that one. My Fair Lady, Sound of Music, you pick them, I'll do it.
Yep.
People are leaving. Oh, my God, don't leave the chat room.
Are they leaving the chat room?
No, they're not. I'm just kidding, Brenda.
You better be. It scared me for a minute there.
Julie says, every time I have received a reading here, meaning here in the chat room, it has been accurate. Well, thank you, Julie. We agree.
Is absolutely awesome.
And Delaney says, me too. Anybody else want to raise that? You know, and really, you know, I want to address that. Now, there's still no... You know what, Brenda, I liked how you handled that last caller, because I just recently have been dealing... Well, we all deal with it. You know, you guys, we all do. And I was just talking about this, and it's frustrating to me. I had someone that I saw in person recently, very frustrating, and I like to always have everything taped, or at least I ask them to take notes. It's very important. And the next thing you know, they come back with this stuff after I've gone through all this stuff. I've given it my all, and she comes back and says, yeah, I know all that stuff you went through. She lets me have it, and then she goes, but what about the other? And I'm like, what the heck? But she wouldn't take notes, and she started pestering. You know, I start feeling used and abused sometimes.
Well, I have to say one thing. I always stand by my readings.
Yeah, I do too.
The universal energy and the way we pick up our information is not deceptive in any way. We are channels for this information, and we receive it and we impart it because we have a code of ethics as psychics.
Exactly.
And what people choose to do with it is their own choice. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly.
And right. I really, you know, I tell people, I said, what I see, this is what I see, what you choose to do with it, of course. And, you know, mm-hmm. you may say something or see something and a person will go, oh, no way, I'm not going to do that. And they go the opposite way. Just because, and there's many reasons for that. Fear. Yeah. You know,
they need to baby step it and not be so overwhelmed.
Exactly. That, you know, there's
doing it. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's
so
what
I like to say that what I see is what's going to happen. You have free will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, or people delay things because it's so, they want this big plan. I go, it doesn't work like that in life for some of the dynamics. People, great, they can do these big plans, but it's scary what they're trying. And that's what I'm using an example. I'm not putting this girl down, but she goes, yeah, I already know that. Well, I know that she did, but she still delayed over a year because we talked about her doing this one step to do this. Well, she still had it. I go, how about just maybe taking this other little baby step and don't worry about all this stuff that you're seeing in the ahead because it keeps or from not wanting to move forward in doing whatever, you know?
That's true. And there's yeah. also, you know, some people just, they only want to hear
yep,
what they want to hear.
And, that's right.
You know, if that is the case, then
it's nothing.
Then they're going to sabotage themselves.
That's right. And that's true. That's true. But, you know, sometimes, you know, our work is not, you know, people models, it's not real glamorous. It's rough work for those high, in fact, with the supermodels. But for our work too, it's funny because, you know, when, you know, I was younger than Brendan, you and I have been doing this about the same amount of time, 20 years professionally. And, you know, it's people go, oh, that must be really cool. Or it's difficult. I'm not in a bad way difficult, but it's just like anybody else's work that our mind, but even more so, it can be very wearing. And also people will like sometimes like to play games. If they do so, I won't have it. But you know, things come from it. It's like anything else. But it is difficult. But again, I'm really happy. I am doing what I'm supposed to do.
It's a calling. It has to be.
It absolutely.
This kind of work has to be in your heart because it's not a 9-to-5. It's not.
No,
it doesn't have structure.
And right.
It is something in which we put ourselves actually in many ways. You know, we open ourselves up to receive this energy, and it can be wearing on certain, you know, endocrine system.
It sticks with you. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm not reading, I'll occasionally think about my clients and their issues. You know, it sticks with me.
Sometimes,
you know?
Or sometimes
I don't remember sometimes any. Like,
yeah, sometimes out of the blue, you'll see something, and then they'll call you.
Yeah, trigger. Yeah.
And then they ask you all about that, and you've already seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
That happened to me many times.
That's a cool connection with the reading. And you know, it's really the best thing is when people are open to anything, even no matter what. Like I'm not saying I'm right or wrong.
Oh yes.
It's like, you know what? I'm just getting what I'm getting. And the thing of it is, if someone opens up and like I'm open, the bottom line is wow. It's like it's incredible that what can happen. Even it has nothing to do with being right or wrong. Being open. That's why I always say I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know because I'm open to everything. I am.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not open to people abusing me. But
well, the super consciousness, the source in which we connect, is, you know, it's a very pure source.
Exactly.
And so it's not going to give us information that's, you know. Now we have to, sometimes our interpretations might be a little bit different.
Exactly.
That's how, like,
it's our way.
You can read, and I can read, and Stephen can read. We'll come up with all the same
stuff. So I stand on my head. I stand on my head. I'm joking.
You know what I'm talking about. We'll come up with the same stuff because we're all connecting, and we're getting the same information.
And sometimes people call me babbling or rambling. I get really mad about it. It's okay because I get a lot of information. All you got to do is say, would you please slow down? And I have no problem with that. It's the aftermath, and I go, oh, you know, she's talking so fast. I know I talk fast. But I can slow it down, too. Really, I can. But I always think of people speeding up their brain, So everybody, if I start babbling, don't use that word. Slowly, I turn, I get really upset that I hear you're babbling. I'm like, okay. My family used to do that stuff. It's just not nice. But so you know. But I do think that all four of us are different. I like the four of us together. I like how we kind of like skip along and doing our thing. And I appreciate everybody.
I like getting bullied around by all ladies.
By us or all ladies?
By you and Lady Brenda. I love getting bullied by you.
And that means we like you. It's
that's
like
okay.
It's like in the playground or in the sand. What do you call it? In the sand. Yeah. What do you call it?
In the sandbox. I'm playing in the sandbox with him.
That's it. Sandbox. We're just
and he better be good. He better be good.
I will be.
Yanking your chain. Not.
That's right. It's undoubtedly connected to my neck too.
Anyway, I do know a lot of people on holiday. I do know that, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, summertime.
We were talking about that the other day. I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Keep it up. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's summertime. Everyone's taking their vacations. That's why I'm hoping
you're
well.
Oh, Maureen, you have a call. Oh, my goodness.
Steven, dead air. Steven, are you there? Listen, you guys. Oh, for Maureen. Okay, here I am. Hi, North Carolina. This is Maureen. May I help you? Hello? Oh, no. I don't have a very good connection. Can you try again with that? Hello? I think breaking it up.
Hello?
Hi, I can hear you now. Hi. What's your name, please? Hello, this morning. May I have your
name? My name is Latavia.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Your name is what?
It's my name, Latavia.
Latavia. Hi, Latavia. Yeah, your phone's breaking up a bit. Maybe if you moved... It was doing better there. If you can,
it's better right now. Can you hear me more now?
Yes, I can do. I can hear you better now. What can I help you with? Yes, I can.
Well, I had a question regarding just what's going on in my what's to come. You know.
Okay. Could you give me in your what? It's better because of our time restraint here. If you can, you know, hand me a.
I'm sick in my marriage. In my marriage. Relationship.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're asking me about. Go on. What is it?
I'm asking my marriage, my relationship, what's to come. You know.
Okay, but I know. But I just need a direct question. Are you seeing somebody right now, and you're wondering if that will be something?
I'm married now, but okay. He's been a little distant. So I'm trying to see where,
Is it going to move forward into a better place, or maybe you're going to have some choices? How's that? Direct enough? I'll focus on that.
Yeah.
Is that good? Okay, great. Got it. So you're married. I got it. Okay, it's easier that way because of our time. You know, here it's a little shorter, and I can help you better. I got it. Okay, yeah, I do see that there's been some disharmony between you two, and it is sad, but it's okay. Because that happens sometimes, you know, the ebb and flow of things. But I do, you know what, I see, like, right now what I'm seeing is that you have a choice, you know, we were talking about choices earlier. You have a choice, but it's almost like there's something going on where you want to be excited, you want enthusiasm, you want to jump, you want to be fearless and jump and have adventure and go for it. I feel that he's kind of gone by the wayside. He's not like that he used to be. He's not as adventurous, or he's not as full of life. There's something going on, whereas you wanted, you know, like sometimes when you're with somebody for a while. Have you been married for at least 5 years?
Yeah, over 5 years. Wow, almost 10 years in September.
How many? 10 years, you said? Okay.
In September, yes.
Okay. So, you know, so the thing of it is, I get it, but you know, this is, it's almost like he's fallen by the wayside. It's not that I'm saying anything bad against him. He's forgetful. He's forgetting the playfulness or the cool, you know, that stuff that needs to be embraced. It doesn't matter how old you are, and the kids, the girl, whatever. And you're feeling isolated in this. I see you feeling like, you know, like you're almost like lonely. It's isolation. And
why?
And I do see a woman, like a girlfriend, sister friend, and you're feeling really, I don't know, you're feeling really embraced by having her around, but that is distracting. You know, I feel that you love your husband very much, but he just needs to just jump and be fearless along with you and go for whatever that is. It could be anything, you know, like just being, grabbing hold of that enthusiasm for, you know, like, and where everybody was going, what do you think you're doing? You're being a druid. That's ridiculous. That's when you know that you're not doing anything ridiculous. It's like just going for some, it's like I do feel it because of your energy. I see that he can follow. There's been a lot of times you've been trying so hard to have him see this, you know, like, but he's not listening. He's not capable. It looks like there's some work situation. It's been very difficult for him, stress, but it will be calming down. And I feel that there will be a better time. And you also have to release some past stuff that have yet. There's some things that, you know, you can't repair fantasy with past. You can't repair the past with fantasy. Okay. But there is some stuff in the past. I feel, I do see that there's some stuff from the past that needs to be okayed and just move on. You'll know what that is, but I feel that sometimes when you want to be real connected in childhood or that feeling of like enthusiasm for each other, the past will kind of bring you into a place and you get up, you know, unconsciously, whatever. I do feel that you'll be able to release from that together and move on. It's almost, and I see him working really hard at something new. He'll feel better inside himself like a man. I see another man here who's not really positive. I say this. I feel that your husband there's good potential for him to step up to where your level that you're at. There's stuff going on with him, and then the two of you kind of get into each, you know, because of past stuff. But there is some other man around here who I don't like, and he appears to be a real traditional and wonderful guy, but he ends up not being so much. And he's, I don't know who he is. He appears older than you, but he may be the same age, but I don't know. He ends up not being so trustworthy after all. But I just feel your husband's going to be working more or better or being happier where he's working, company, or something's going on. Things are going to take a change or they're heading that way. And I feel that he'll be much more relaxed. Yeah, very big time change. You too, yes. And I do see that romance. I do see it really doing well. And it's, you're moving forward. And I would just, you know, keep on going at who you are, how you are. You're ready for some. I like it. It's wonderful. Your husband will step it up.
Okay. He needs it.
He does need to, and he will. And I do see him really, and, you know, it'll be nice. I like this. He's well worth it. And you'll see that, and it won't be long. And it's good. It's very good. So don't worry. It'll be okay. But you continue on how you are. I think it's great. You're at that place right now. You'll be fine. I like it.
Nothing he say. Just don't take it to the heart right now.
Don't take it to heart. He's having a rough time within himself. I feel it is static in that. There's stuff around with business or company. Something's going on. Things I see moving forward, getting better. But right now it is difficult. It's hard to communicate whatever you're trying to. There's some past stuff that needs to have been let go. I do feel that is workable. And I do feel, but don't lose your energy as it is. I see it to be great. So even if he's not at the same pace, I see him catching up to you, and it's going to be great. He really will. He'll catch up very sooner than the later. He'll be at the same pace, and you two will be on your way to having, more grasping life. Really great. And it'll be great. I do see good. Yes. I hope I helped you.
Thank you so much.
You're reading. Thank yourself. Thank you so much for calling, and have a great weekend.
You the same. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen, for that reading. Thank you.
Well, you don't thank me. You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, I have a caller from South Dakota. Hello, South Dakota.
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is me. You guys were talking about keeping an open mind. Well, I have a situation that is very different than your usual one. I had been seeing Theta Healing. In fact, I had two sessions, which were on the phone. And each session, she told me that I had an entity attached to me. And she released it each time. And I'm just kind of wondering, can you give me any feedback on that? about, you know, why, you know, why would I have this, and do I pull it to me? You know, what's going on?
Well, first of all, just speaking for myself personally, I am not one to leap to a conclusion that someone has a quote-unquote entity attached to them at the drop of a dime. I think that sort of thing is quite rare. And also, furthermore, it's dangerous because there's the power of suggestion going on here, you see.
Okay.
I don't pick up any entities at all that are molesting you. What I see very clearly, and I want you to listen to me carefully, what I see very clearly is that you have more power over the things that are troubling you than you're giving yourself credit for. That's what I see. Furthermore, what I'd like you to do is to actually reach out into your social circle. I see in particular a male who is either going to be a Libra or who's going to have the temperament of a Libra, okay? And this male will actually be able to help you with the things that are troubling you, okay? A Libra, of course, is someone who's a harmonizer. You'll be able to tell a Libra because they're very concerned. They're very smart dressers. They're very their houses are always very clean and well decorated, okay? And I see that your friends, and especially this friend who's a mediator by nature, will actually help you with with whatever is troubling you. And it's not an entity, okay? It's not, don't worry, you're not going to be like Reagan on The Exorcist or anything like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense to you or helping you to feel better? Because the things that are actually troubling you, they can be reined in and made better by you yourself personally without having to resort to a lot of maybe unorthodox or radical types of treatments over the phone like that. Do you see what I'm driving at?
Okay. I guess
yeah.
I was kind of wondering about is that I'm always open. You know, I'm open to things, just like you guys were talking about.
Oh, sure. Now that I can get with.
I do have a son
right.
in the spirit world. And so I know that he is around a lot. I have a mother in the spirit world, a father in the spirit world. And I'm wondering if, I'm very, I don't know how you would, accepting, maybe that would be the word. And so I'm not quite sure what, you know, she was referring to, or it doesn't really bother me per se, except that
right.
sometimes my energy really gets zapped. And, but of course, I really give my, you know, give of myself. I'm kind of my nature. And,
right. What I understand about you is that the boundaries of your ego, you know, the psychological structures that separate you from the rest of the world, these boundaries are very porous.
These boundaries
are
very porous.
I totally understand that finer types of spirit bodies might communicate. Right. Just remember, if you're making a connection to anything that makes you uncomfortable, it's just like a telephone call. You can hang up the connection. Okay, it takes two to tango with this sort of thing. You can certainly just sort of hang up the phone and reject incoming connections that you don't like or that make you uncomfortable.
Okay.
Well,
okay,
you try that.
It's usually the other way. It's usually the other way with me. So I was just kind of wondering. You know, I was just kind of frustrated what she was saying to me, and I didn't really understand. You know. Why it would be that way, because I'm kind of the other way. I always have really positive connections. I really have positive things happen to me, and I really get a lot of help. And so I was like,
yes, ma'am.
Whoa, what's this that she's saying?
Right. I don't see anything negative that's trying to
Are you still there?
Yes, there's nothing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I think we had a bump in our connection here, but I was just saying I don't see anything negative that's trying to harass you at all.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You can safely disregard the other types of advice that you had gotten there and just focus on developing your psychic immune system.
Okay.
Strengthening that. Yeah, I know this sounds kind of vague, but you know, and if you receive a connection from any kind of spirit entity that it makes you uncomfortable, you can break that connection, okay?
Okay.
Like hanging up the
phone. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling, and I hope you'll visit us at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, thank you very much. I did.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good night. Okay, Brenda, I believe we have a caller for you from Missouri.
Okay. Hi, Missouri. What can I do for you tonight?
Hello, I have a question. I'm kind of concerned about the future as far as career-wise. I'm graduating from college, and I want to go to dental school, and I'm applying this summer. So I want to know if I'm getting to dental school, first of all, and then out of the three schools that I'm selecting, which one will be a better fit for me?
Okay, let's take a peek here. Okay. I'm definitely seeing the three schools. Is one of them close by, like 10 miles?
No. The hours ranging from, well, 3, 4, and 16 in an hour range.
Okay. Oh, in hours, okay. Let's take a peek here. I have to tell you honestly, that I see that the school that's furthest away is the one that's going to accept you, because I do see you getting in. And there is going to be a man who's instrumental in this, and he may be somebody who refers you, gives you a good letter, gives you a leg up, or you interview with him, but you're going to be in, and he is coming through a circle of acquaintances. And I definitely see renewal here. This is a good path for you. It's a path of healing. It's something you've wanted for a really long time. It looks like it's going to happen, and it looks like it could be sooner than you think. And when are you applying for the school?
I am applying. I want to apply by, like, mid-August. I wanted to apply by today, but I'm still working on my personal statement. I want it to be perfect. Not really perfect, but, you know, close to perfect.
Are you getting a letter of recommendation from one of your teachers?
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to go a long way in helping you get into the school of your choice. And the school that you end up getting into is going to be, you know, it'll be for a reason, because what I see with the school is there's going to be some type of dentistry that will be specialized there, and it's something that you're interested in. I see that it's about you doing your application and sending your papers in is about 3 to 5 weeks away, is what I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I see good news with it. I do.
Okay. All righty.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you need to know any more details, you can always reach us at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Thank you very much. That was a lovely reading. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, Maureen, I do believe that next week you will be doing the show.
You
right?
believed correctly.
Maureen is queen next week.
I'm the queen.
Uh-huh. What will Her Highness be going into?
La Highness. We'll have a great guest.
Her Highness.
And it's interesting. I, you know what? I ran into this guest and the show, and it makes sense how I even connected to how I found him. It was synchronicity. And so it's called Path of Synchronicity, and we all love synchronicity.
Oh,
so yes, and he's a wonderful, wonderful – he's a professor. He's a British. He was born British, but he's a professor in literature. He's Oxford degree. He's just a lovely man. He's an author of 12 books. So he will really be – we'll have a really great show on Is it synchronicity or just dumb luck? Basically, it is synchronicity, but it'll be a great show. Everybody, I'm looking forward to it. I hope everybody else is. So there you have it. The end. Bye.
Me too. Me too. It sounds great. I love literature. I'm going to enjoy next week's show.
Yes, well, it'll be nice. So good night. Great show, Stephen. Great show.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you very much, Lady Brenda. It means a lot coming from you guys. I'd like to send a big thank you out to the executive producer, Doug, who's sort of like the fall guy. He does all the work and hardly ever gets to come out front and get some of the credit. So he deserves a warm round of applause. I would like to thank my co-hosts, Maureen, Lady Brenda, Steve, and I'd also like to wish Maureen a very happy and warm birthday.
Okay, we've said it a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.